Tenzin Palmo isn't waiting for science to justify her faith. She's a practicing Tibetan Buddhist. Palmo was born Diane Perry, but she left her old name and the comforts of England when she was 20 to follow the Buddhist path in India. She started out there as a Buddhist nun, teaching English in a remote Buddhist community. But she followed the Buddhist path to a remote extreme. She became one of the few Western women to spend years meditating alone in a Himalayan cave. Recently, Palmo founded a nunnery to help raise the status of Buddhist nuns. She told Steve Paulson that in most places she found the Tibetan nuns were shockingly undereducated.
In the border regions, it was even worse because there, usually the nuns were not even given training in meditation. And so while the monks were out front doing the studies and the rituals and the meditations, the nuns were in the kitchen doing the cooking.
What does the Dalai Lama say about the role of women?
Oh, His Holiness says that male or female body, it makes no difference. And provided that they study and practice diligently, there is nothing which cannot be accomplished in a female form. He's extremely supportive.
Can you tell me about the nunnery you have started in northern India? Where is it?
It's about 2 hours from Dharamshala, about 12 hours north of Delhi. We have 25 girls. They are from Tibet and also from border regions such as Ladakh and Nepal. The youngest is 15 and the oldest about 26. And they're very lovely girls and they are studying philosophy. They are studying the traditional debating system. They also learn some ritual. They also do meditation. And we are very concerned also to re-establish a very precious lineage of yogini practitioners, of deep meditators, which was extant in Tibet, not only for the males, but also for the females, but which, after the communist takeover of Tibet, as far as we know, was terminated for the nuns in Tibet. We want to re-establish that lineage also.
I want to ask about your own background, because you've had a most extraordinary life. From what I've read, you lived in a monastery for a number of years, and then you lived for 12 years alone in a cave high in the Himalayas.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that was like?
When I was 20, I went to India to find a teacher. And on my 21st birthday, I met with my Lama, His Eminence, Kamtul Rinpoche. And then 3 weeks later, I became a nun and worked with him and his community for about 6 years. Then after that, he said to me, now it's time for you to put more emphasis on your formal meditation practice. And he told me to go to the Valley of Lahul, which lies next to Ladakh, which used to be a part of Western Tibet. And Lahul, because it's bordered on either side by very high mountain passes and itself lies at about 11,000 feet, for most of the year, for 8 months of the year, is cut off from the rest of India by snow. During that time that I was there, there was no electricity, so of course there was no telephones and no televisions or anything. It was a very interned society, but a Buddhist society. Then, after some years, I felt it still was a little too sociable, really, especially in the winter when I wanted to do a strict retreat. So I heard about a cave about an hour away further up the mountain. So I moved there.
And this cave was 13,000 feet above sea level? That's very high.
Yeah, the people said that it wasn't a good idea to live so high. Actually, people don't understand that caves are sort of, thermostatically controlled. They're warmer than houses in the winter and cooler in the summer. It's one of the properties of caves, which is why I think they were popular for several thousand years. It was also, once it started snowing, then nobody could come there. So it was ideal for completely merging with one's meditation practice.
Did you ever get trapped in your cave? I mean, with snow piled all around so you couldn't get out?
Well, one time there was a blizzard which raged day and night for a week, and then the whole place got completely covered. I mean, I opened the door and there was just a sheet of ice, and the whole cave inside was completely black because there was no light.
So you had to dig yourself out then?
Well, yes. At the time, I thought because it was a very small cave that I was going to asphyxiate, and got all ready for that to happen, and really realized that the only thing that really mattered in this lifetime was one's devotion to the teacher. And so I prayed to him to take care of me in all my future lifetimes. And then I got a very clear message saying, oh, just dig out, you know. So, oh, right, Rinpoche.
Now, you said this was a very small cave. How big was it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a rectangular thing, so you could really measure it. But it was certainly only big enough for one and not big enough for two.
Oh, my goodness, you're talking tiny.
It was small.
And I heard that you didn't actually have a bed or a cot to sleep on. You actually would sleep sitting upright in a meditation box?
That's right. In the Tibetan tradition, usually when you do extended retreats, they have a wooden meditation box. My one measured 30 inches by 36, and it has a kind of back to it, and it's about a foot deep and raised above the ground, which is good because then it doesn't get damp from the ground.
This sounds awfully uncomfortable.
Oh, no, it was like home. I mean, I lived in it.
And you lived there for 12 years.
Because I couldn't think of anywhere nicer to be.
So there was something about that kind of Spartan lifestyle that you craved, clearly.
I wasn't considering it Spartan. I just wanted to have the opportunity to completely devote myself to my practice. And this was an ideal situation. It was so quiet. There was, you know, so many months in which one knew one was not going to be disturbed. The people around were Buddhist and therefore very sympathetic. One felt completely safe. It was a very holy region, which had been blessed by many saints in the past. And so it seemed an ideal place to be.
What did you do during all that time?
I was doing my meditation practice. And chopping wood and heaving off snow and occasionally cooking.
What did you do for food?
I collected supplies of like rice and wheat and lentils for 1 year at a time and stored it. And also I had a small garden where I grew potatoes and turnips in the summer.
Did you have books to read or religious texts?
I had a number of texts in Tibetan.
But it sounds like most of the time you were just there thinking.
One was trying not to think. No, I mean, Tibetan meditation is quite a formal affair in which it is very structured, actually. People think you just sort of sit around and, or, you know, you have no sense of time or anything, and you just kind of space out. But it's not like that at all. The day is very structured into four main meditation periods of 3 hours each. And there are very set contemplations and visualizations and practices which have to be accomplished, and so many millions of mantras which have to be done. I mean, it's a very structured situation.
Now, you're talking about a practice that went not just for weeks or months, but years, many years on end. Did you ever get bored?
Sure. Who doesn't? I mean, you're watching the same TV program over and over again. Wouldn't you get bored?
I do, yes. I thought maybe once you become enlightened to a certain degree, maybe boredom is not a factor anymore. I don't know. I've never been there.
Whatever comes up is what comes up. Sometimes, you know, you feel extremely ecstatic. Sometimes you feel totally bored. Sometimes you feel, you know, happy. Sometimes you feel miserable. I mean, everything which comes up is just a play of the mind. It's totally irrelevant, actually. The important thing is just to be aware. and to be present.
Why is that so important?
Because the present moment is the only moment we have. Everything else is just a projection of the mind. The only reality we have is now.
Tenzin Palmo is the founder of the DGL Nunnery in Tibet. Her book is called Reflections on a Mountain Lake, Teachings in Practical Buddhism. Steve Paulson spoke with her.